Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. You have reached the host, Motormouth Mosley, calling to you live from the Man Cave here in Redan, Georgia. I want to thank you for tuning in. The phone number, if you're interested in calling in, is 347-945-7975. That's 347-945-7975. And, of course, you can log in onto our site at blogtalkradio.com/Motormouth Mosley. Click on tonight's episode, join us in chat, send me your questions. I'll do my best at responding. We're also going to go over my NFL picks for the weekend. We've got a game that is still in progress, which is Kansas City versus Denver. Denver's taking care of business at home. It's 24-10 with 2:22 left in the third quarter. Would be surprised if that game doesn't get a little bit closer. Denver just actually scored a touchdown to go up by 14. But with the explosiveness and the athletes on the Kansas City Chiefs team, I still think that that's going to end up being one of those games that goes down to the wire. Whoever has the ball last, you know, that kind of a deal. But we've had a great slate of football games over the last couple of days. Got some great college results. Had a great ending to that Georgia-Auburn game. Two top-ranked teams. Georgia, early in the season, was looked at possibly being a national championship contender. Took a couple of shots on the chin, so not necessarily in the running for a BCS championship, but still a very talented and a very formidable team. Played a great game over in Auburn, Alabama. And it went down to literally the last few plays, a spectacular Karam off of two Georgia DBs that should have been either knocked down or intercepted that ended up bouncing up, landing in wide receiver Ricardo Lewis's hands and skating in for a 73-yard touchdown to put Auburn up and actually by the margin that the game ended up in. So some great college football, a little shakeup, a couple of upsets, a couple of top-ranked teams got knocked off, and you know, there's an ongoing debate that we'll get into on who should be the number three team in college football. And, of course, this year we don't have a playoff. Next year it will be one, but there's still going to be a problem because they're only going to take the top four teams. And I'm sure there's going to be number five, number six, number seven, who literally think that they should be involved in the conversation. Unfortunately, the panel, which has some interesting parties to it, only are allowed to pick four, and then everybody else is left out of the playoffs. But let's go over our NFL scores real quick, see how we did this weekend. Had another rough week last week, won 5-8, five up, eight down, has us sitting at 95-50 overall for the season, which still is, you know, respectable, but over the last 2 weekends have definitely hurt, and actually today hurt a little bit more also. Here are the scores of the weekend. The New York Giants and the New York Jets 14, Buffalo Bills 37. You had Baltimore 20, Chicago 23, Cleveland 20, Kansas City 41. Washington in an NFC East battle with Philadelphia. It was Washington 16, Philadelphia 24. Detroit goes into Pittsburgh, and as I predicted, Detroit took one on the chin. It was 27-37. Pittsburgh Steelers looked like they finally woke up, started to play the kind of ball that we've grown accustomed to them playing. Atlanta, 28. Tampa gets their second win of the season. I believe they're both tied now at 2-8. Tough year for both squads. I guess they're going after the Marcus Mariota, Johnny Manziel rally for the draft pick next year. I don't know who they're going to pick. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. You got Jacksonville losing to Arizona. I kind of thought that Jacksonville would kind of bounce back and win another one, but no, they didn't. You had Oakland going into Houston and losing to Houston. No, Oakland winning over Houston, which was an upset in my book because I thought that Oakland would lose that game. San Diego 15, Miami 20. San Francisco in one of the great earlier games tonight was 23-20, New Orleans beating San Francisco. The Giants 27, Green Bay 13. The Green Bay Packers are in real trouble without Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Just not the same kind of team. And as I said, as an ongoing game right now, you've got Kansas City 10, Denver 24, Minnesota 20, Seattle 41, Indianapolis 30, and Tennessee 27. As I said, it's a great slate of games. Let me see. Look how we did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're looking at about 7 and 5, 7 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 6. If we can pull this one off later tonight, we could, you know, look somewhat decent. We need New Orleans to beat Carolina tomorrow. So it's not going to be a great week for Motormouth Mosley picks, but it was a great weekend of a great football action. I want to go over my NFL power rankings of the NFL teams. Who are the teams that I think, as of right now, are the strongest, the contenders for the Super Bowl championship? At number 5, I've got the New England Patriots. I don't like them. I don't like Brady, but got to give them their respect. They are one of the top teams. They play tomorrow night against Carolina. That should be a good game. I think that game's in Charlotte. Yes, Carolina's the home team. So you may see Cam Newton and his boys actually pop up and win this one. So my number 5 pick is kind of tentative because they didn't play today. Number 4, definitely New Orleans Saints. They look great against the Dallas Cowboys. And I had to pause because that hurt me to say they looked great against the Dallas Cowboys. They looked really good tonight against a very tough San Francisco 49er team. But as they pretty much dominated that game, although the score didn't indicate that, they really took it to the Niners and kind of manhandled them up and down the field. Drew Brees is back playing great ball. As of last week, Mark Ingram, who had been missing in action since his glorious days at Alabama, is now turning into a very, very good running back. Him and Pierre Thomas are one of the best tandems at running back in the league. So it seems like the 8-2 New Orleans Saints have been re-energized and are peaking at just the right time in the year. And, of course, having Coach Sean Payton back after his one-year suspension has to do nothing but help. And maybe that was one of the missing links. Also picking up Coach Rob Ryan for the Dallas Cowboys to run their defense. That doesn't hurt either. So my number 4 team in my power rankings, in the Motormouth Mosley power rankings, are the New Orleans Saints. At number 3, the top NFC team I have on the list, which is the Seattle Seahawks, a great defense, a great offense, great run game with Marshawn Lynch, a very astute, a very talented field general in having a brain fart in the quarterback that they got. So they are a well coached team by Coach Pete Carroll. So it's a great the franchise, and not even to mention the fact that they get to play in a stadium where it is the loudest stadium in the NFL with some of the best fans in the NFL. So there's no doubt about it that there's some great football to be played. But it looks like for me right now, even though they're not on the list, I think the top NFC teams are the San Francisco 49ers, New Orleans Saints, and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, as for my number 1 and number 2, that is to be determined basically by tonight's game. And if the game ended right now, my number two team would be the Kansas City Chiefs, who would fall, I believe, to 9-1. And then the Denver Broncos would take over the number one spot. If the game goes the other direction and Kansas City finds a way to come back and pull this game out, then Kansas City would be my number one team and Denver would be my number two team. But I think there's a lot of football to be played. There is a definite difference in the play of the quarterbacks. Peyton Manning is one of the greatest, if not the all-time greatest quarterback to play, depending upon, you know, your varied opinion. Alex Smith is who he is. He's still Alex Smith. He has some good moments and has some bad moments, but his career has been re-energized by being traded to Kansas City, Andy Reid being there, a great run game, some very quality receivers. Kansas City is definitely going to be in the running late in the year, but I still believe that Denver may be the best team in the league. Overall, week in, week out, they did take one on the chin to Indianapolis, but basically with about 8 weeks left in the season, we are going to be looking forward to, well, in the whole entire season, including playoffs, we will be looking at some very, very quality football to be played and a great playoff season. So that's kind of my take on the NFL power rankings when it comes to the NFL. Again, you're listening to the Motormouth Mosley radio show. I am the man, Motormouth Mosley, doing what I do best. That's run my mouth and talk sports. Got a couple of people in the chat room want to say hi to you. Got a couple of callers that have already sent me messages that they don't want to talk. They just want to listen, and I do appreciate that. And I also appreciate anybody who may be listening to this episode at a later time. You may be just calling in to catch an archive later. You may just be kind of skimming through, trying to hear what I got to say. But I want to thank you for taking the time to support what I'm trying to do and to listen to what I'm saying. Now I want to bounce over to some NCAA college football, because that's, to me, the hotbed of football right now. Yeah, the NFL doing what they're doing, but right now with all the BCS discussions going on and the rankings and the shufflings and the upsets, college football to me right now at this moment is a little bit ahead of the NFL. And so right now I want to bounce over to some college football. I want to go over a couple of scores. I want to go over my rankings, which there has been some shaking up. As of last week, my rankings were, and no, these aren't the BCS rankings. These aren't the AP rankings. These aren't the NAACP rankings. These are just the Motormouth Mosley, how I look at college football and what I see. As of last week, my rankings were, at number 10, I had Missouri. At number 5, I had Auburn. Number 8, I had Texas A&M. At number 7, I had the Oregon Ducks. At number 6, Clemson Tide from Clemson, South Carolina. At number 5, I had the Ohio State University. At number 4, I had Stanford. At number 3, the Baylor Bears. And at number 2, I had Florida State. And, of course, at number 1, defending two-time national champion, Roll Tide, Alabama, was my number 1 pick. Those were my picks as of last week. As we all know, there was an upset with Stanford getting knocked off by USC, who I must mention, is playing some great ball once they let go of Lane Kiffin. I believe they are now 5 wins in a row after letting Kiffin go. So it wasn't, I mean, they were a talented team even when Kiffin had them, but it seems like this Coach Orgeron has done a great job of getting them to buy into his system, and they are playing some fantastic football over at USC. So they knocked off Stanford, who at the time was my number 4 ranked team in my poll. And the other thing that significantly happened over the weekend was I actually got to sit and watch a complete Ohio State game. And much to the chagrin of a lot of Ohio State fans who I did have conversations with over the last couple of days, I wasn't impressed at all. I wasn't impressed with the skill set of the skill players, the wide receivers and running backs. Although Hyde had a bunch of yards at running back, I wasn't impressed with the speed out wide or the scoring ability that Ohio State showed against a very, very bad Illinois team. A very, very bad Illinois team. Yeah, they won, 60 to 35, but at the same time, it just was not impressive at all. It just wasn't. And for a team that was talking about being in the national BCS championship picture, they reminded me of Notre Dame last year. They were winning games, they were beating people, they weren't beating them decisively for the most part, and who they did beat decisively were very, very, very bad teams. So what ultimately happened after watching the game was that I ended up moving Ohio State down in my rankings. So this week's rankings, I've got at number 10, I got a 9-1 Oklahoma State team. The big matchup, I believe, is in 2 weeks when Oklahoma State goes down to Waco and plays Baylor. That's going to be a huge game, not only in the Big 12, but in the national championship picture. If Baylor wins that game, which I believe will be the toughest game they have left on their schedule. They also got TCU and Texas on their schedule. But that Oklahoma State game will be the game that will be their signature win, that if there's any way possible for them to hop over and get into the BCS championship picture, it will take a win and a decisive win over a very good Oklahoma State team. So Oklahoma State's at number 10 at 9-1. I've got the Ohio State University dropping from number 5 all the way back to number 9. And I do understand that they are undefeated. They've got like 22 or 23 consecutive wins, but my problem with them is they haven't played anybody of any subsequence. None of the 10 wins they have this season are impressive, are against impressive opponents. So they've dropped. I've got at number 8, I've got Missouri at 9-1. Missouri is fortunate. Their SEC schedule does not include Auburn, does not include Alabama. So they're pretty lucky. They do have 2 games left, and they've got number 24, Ole Miss, and they've got my number 6, Texas A&M, on their schedule left. So that would bode well for Missouri at the end of the season. At number 7, we've got Clemson at 9-1, dominated a Georgia Tech team over the weekend, 31-55. It just was ugly. It just wasn't. I'm sure that Coach Johnson and Coach Buzzy will get things straight within that Georgia Tech locker room, but that game just wasn't very. It wasn't good. It just wasn't good. At number 6, I've got an 8-2 Texas A&M team, and trust me, people, no one wants to play this Texas A&M team late in the season or in a playoff game, in a bowl game. I mean, nobody. They are explosive. They are dynamic. They will score. They will keep pressure on you. Johnny Manziel is the most polarizing, the most exciting, the outstanding college football player, no matter what the Heisman voters say. Johnny Manziel is the guy you want to see play. And a 4-point loss to Auburn at home and a 7-point loss to Alabama in Tuscaloosa are the only blemishes on their schedule. So you got it right. Yeah, I've got them ranked against some undefeated. I got them ranked higher than undefeated teams, and I've got them ranked higher than one-loss teams, some very good one-loss teams. So I've got Texas A&M at number 6. At number 5, I've got the Oregon Ducks. The only blemish on their schedule was a loss against Stanford. For some odd reason, Stanford has their number. They bounced back against the Utah team that had beaten Stanford, and they beat that Utah team rather decisively. Again, another team that if they are able to find their way into a national championship picture, it will be very interesting to see if anybody can keep up with the speed and talent and the constant barrage of offensive prowess of an Oregon team. At number four, I've got Auburn at 10-1, and they went into Texas A&M and beat Texas A&M. They are extremely well coached. I was very impressed watching the game against Georgia. They at one point in time had a sizable lead on Georgia. Georgia came back and made it a game, actually took the lead late. And as I mentioned earlier, if not for a Hail Mary miracle deflection, poorly played defensive play, and carry them into the hands of Ricardo Lewis, Auburn would be actually a 9-2 team. But, you know, sometimes you have to find ways to win games that you shouldn't win or that look like you're going to win. So at number four, I've got Auburn. And Auburn left on their schedule still had a season-ending matchup for the Iron Bowl against Alabama, and that is going to be large. That is going to be huge. At number three, I've got an undefeated 9-0 Baylor Bear team, played Texas Tech this weekend, dominated them 63-34. They're averaging over 60 points a game, and that is against some very talented teams. But that offense is a juggernaut. They were playing without their number one and number two running backs in Glasgow Martin and Lake Seastrunk. They were playing without one of their top wide receiver in Tevin Reese, but thanks to some explosive plays by backup Jordan Norwood and Bryce Petty at quarterback and Shaq Linwood at running back, even with their backup, they dominated a very, very good Texas Tech team that had been ranked in the top 25 but seems to have hit a skid over the last 5 weeks. And I think that skid is due to playing much better talent. The meat of the schedule has kicked in, and they have proven that they're not quite at that level yet. Coach Cliff Kingsbury, say that fast three times, Coach Cliff Kingsbury has done a very good job in his first year of putting a very talented product on the field, but they've seemed to wane in the last few weeks. Baylor seems to have stepped their game up. So I've got them at number three. At number two, I've got Florida State sitting at 10-0. Another dominating win over Syracuse, 59-3. Very well could have been a shutout. But in every sense, shape, fashion of the word, a blowout, a dominating mismatch. Famous Jameis Winston only played, I believe, a half of football. And I believe his stats were like 14-for-18 for 279 yards. For some people, that's a whole game. But that was in a half of football, and the coach pulled off the dogs and played a bunch of backups. Still dominated the Syracuse team. At number one, Alabama. In a game that was surprisingly close, Mississippi State is a very talented team, a very good team, a very good middle of the road, not quite upper echelon SEC team, but Alabama got by them 20-7 in one of the few close games that Alabama has played all year. So that's my number 10 rankings. That's my top 10. And to review, that's Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Missouri, Clemson, Texas A&M, Oregon, Auburn, Baylor, Florida, and Alabama. And the big discussion has been, with a lot of people, who should be the number three ranked team. The number one and two is pretty much a given. You know it's Alabama. You know it's Florida State. I'm not exactly sure why, but Florida State hopped over a couple of teams a few weeks ago, and they are touted as the number two team in the country, pretty much a consensus in most of the polls, including mine. But the discussion has been with Baylor and Ohio State. And in all honesty, I don't know how you have that conversation without having an Auburn team in the mix. Auburn is unbelievably talented. I mean, they have a quarterback who transferred from Georgia. He didn't get along well there. Went to a JC, I believe, in Kansas for a couple years. Georgia recruited him as a DB. He was either a DB, a running back, or a wide receiver, or a quarterback. Auburn has transitioned him into a unbelievable quarterback, playing some fantastic football, leading that team. And if not for a 14-point loss to LSU in Baton Rouge, this whole thing could be looking a little bit different for Auburn. So I don't understand how you can lose to a top-ranked team who was a number six team in the country at the time, LSU, and you lose that one game and you're not in the mention of the national championship. So in my opinion, you've got Auburn, you've got Ohio State, and you've got Baylor. Those three teams are probably the three teams that are in the discussion. And you can throw in Oregon, but Oregon seems to stubble their toe against Stanford every year, so they're probably not going to get the respect. Plus, there's the East Coast, West Coast bias thing, and because of the time of their games and people don't want to watch them late, that Oregon may not be getting as much respect as some people would think they should. So if I look at it, if I step out of the Motor Mouth Mosley shell and I just look at it, things will ultimately, I believe, play themselves out for the right two or three, four teams to play in the top bowl games and the two teams to play in the national championship. I believe, and it's just my opinion, but I believe that if Baylor wins out, and that is beats a highly ranked Oklahoma State team, then beats a TCU team that is talented and suffered a lot of injuries, so their record doesn't indicate how quality they really are. They're sitting at 4-7. Could be a lot better, but, you know, it took some losses that they shouldn't have. But I still think it would be somewhat of a, you know, anytime you're dealing with Texas teams, playing against Texas teams, they will be a formidable opponent for Baylor. And then you finish off the season, and what will be Texas versus Baylor, which is, you know, the traditional power in the state, the school that doesn't have to recruit, it gets to pick and choose which players they want, against a school that doesn't have quite the football tradition as a Texas. They're trying to establish that, and they're on their, Coach Art Briles is on his way to getting that somewhat chipped away. So I think that game is going to be a very good game. So I believe that if Baylor can get by Oklahoma State, TCU, and Texas, that they will somehow magically hop over a Florida State team that whose remaining record isn't anything to sneeze at, but it's nothing to be afraid of either. They've got an Idaho team that they'll probably throw up 80 points against, and then they've got a Florida team, which really isn't anything special. So they'll make it through the regular season, I'm sure, undefeated. I'm sure Florida would love nothing more than to go into Tallahassee and knock them off, but don't see that happening. And then they'll play in an ACC championship game, which looks like it's going to probably be against Duke, which they'll probably throw up 90 points against them too. So it'll take some doing. It'll take some doing, but, it's going to be a tough road for Baylor to hop over. But in either case, I just don't see Ohio State, even if they're undefeated, playing against the opponents that they played against, I don't see them being deserving of being in the national championship game. I believe that if they win the conference anyway, they're obligated to go to the Rose Bowl, so it won't even matter. So you may end up with a season where you have three or four teams that are undefeated, and they're not the national champion. Because you also got Fresno, and you've got Northern Illinois, who are sitting at undefeated. And if they finish the year out the way people expect them to, with their rankings combined with a couple of automatic qualifier conferences with champions that aren't anything to write home about, they may squeeze into some BCS bowl games and play some quality opponents and still may win but may not win the national championship. So things are going to play out the way they're supposed to, hopefully. Hopefully you won't have an ugly national championship game like we did last year against a team that belongs versus a team that doesn't belong. So I'm still holding on to hope that it's Alabama versus a team like Baylor in the national championship game. I think that would be a great game to watch. It may be an Alabama versus Florida State game. The athletes on that game, that will be another spectacular game to watch. But outside of that, maybe Oregon. I don't want to see an Auburn-Alabama national championship game. Don't want to see it. Tired of SEC teams dominating. But I would like to see a great game. Like I said, you're going to have a lot more ball to be played. We'll see what's going to happen. I'm going to check in real quick on the NFL game tonight. It's Kansas City 10, Denver 27, 6:45 left in the fourth quarter. It looks like Kansas City's trying to rally some type of a comeback. Hopefully that game will tighten up. But I just want to say thank you for listening in to the Motor Mouth Mosley. We're about to wrap things up for another great episode, another great week of talking sports, running my mouth, doing what I do. And I just want to say thank you for the folks who dialed or clicked in and are listening to what I have to say, whether you're listening live or one of our archived episodes. I want to definitely thank you for listening in. Had a great time talking sports. Look forward to talking to you again on Tuesday night after my Bible study, because, of course, got to give God the glory. And I want to thank you all for the opportunity to share my opinions, my thoughts, with you for another week on the Motor Mouth Moses Radio Show. Have a great week. Thank you for listening in, and aloha.